Certain meaning. So this is called dalalat of the word. Now the dalalat has been divided, the ayat of Quran, the dalalat of the ayat has been divided into two categories. Either it is muhkam or mutashabih. That means either the ayat are muhkamat or they are mutashabihat. The muhkamat are those which are clear in their dalalat, where mutashabihat are those ayat whose meanings need to be understood by bringing them next to the muhkamat. That means we bring the muhkamat next to the mutashabihat, bring them together next to each other, and that's how we can understand the actual meaning of the mutashabih category of ayat. So because mutashabih has a possibility of having several meanings, and which of the meaning is actually meant by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be known when you bring the muhkamat and mutashabihat next to each other. So this group of mufassireen who say this call of the in the tafsir, which believes that huruf al-muqatta'at is part of the mutashabihat of Quran, so that's why it's unable for us to understand its meanings. Obviously the ayat of Holy Quran which I recited in the beginning, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, هُوَ الَّذِي أَنزَلَ عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ مِنْهُ آيَاتٌ مُحْكَمَاتٌ. He is the one who sent upon you the book, some of the ayat of the book, in other words, are muhkamat, and they are هُنَّ أُمُّ الْكِتَابِ, they are the mother of the book. So they are the mother of the book, and وَأُخَرُ مُتَشَابِهَاتٌ, and others, that means the other category of ayat in the Holy Quran are mutashabih. Now, then Allah says, فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ زَيْغٌ, those of the people who have, those who have, inhiraf or deviance in their qulub, what these kind of people, what they do is that, فَيَتَّبِعُونَ مَا تَشَابَهَا مِنْهُ, they follow the mutashabih ibtigha al-fitna wa ibtigha ta'wilihi. They want to, in order for seeking fitna, they follow the mutashabih. Now, whereas wama ya'lamu ta'wilahu illallahu wal-rasikhuna fil ilm, whereas no one knows the ta'wil of the mutashabih except Allah and those who are deep into the knowledge. Obviously, the rasikhuna fil ilm is the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. Now, this call of the in the tafsir that huruf al-muqatta'at are mutashabih, my teacher was saying that this is unacceptable. This is not the right way of doing the tafsir. This is not the right thing to say, because of the fact that huruf al-muqatta'at do not fall in the category of the ayat al-mutashabihat. This is not part of the mutashabihat in Quran. Mutashabih, in, we say to those of the ayat having the dalalat in a way that means, there's a, like I said in the beginning, they, if there's a word which has more than one meaning, and one meaning is haq and the other meaning is batil, so it's a batil meaning which is haqnuma. It seems to be like haq, but actually it is not haq. So mutashabih is that kind of dalalat of a word that has multiple meanings possible to be taken out and derived, and one of the meanings is the haq and the other meaning is batil. Now the person who is, who himself has kaji in his heart, zayf and inhiraf and deviance in his heart, obviously because he has kaji and deviance and inhiraf in his heart, he is trying to create fitna, so he will go towards that meaning which is batil, but it is haq numa. It looks like haq, but actually it is batil. He will seek that meaning to cause the fitna. So now the point to remember is that mutashabih, the tafsir of the mutashabihat is possible, and how we do the tafsir of mutashabihat is that we bring them next to the muhkamat, represented to the muhkamat, and by presenting the mutashabihat next to the muhkamat, we will get to the actual intended haq meaning of the ayat. Now, so basically, this proves that the meaning of the mutashabihat are in the reach of the human beings. You know, all we need is to present it next to the muhkamat and we will understand the meanings. So we cannot say the mutashabihat, those ayat of the mutashabihat, we are unable, or humans are unable to understand the meaning. This is wrong to say. Now, the word mutashabih in the Holy Quran has been obviously used several times in the Holy Quran. And one of the examples is the same Surah Ali Imran that we were just reading. So we find the word mutashabih is used where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about the fruits, you know, and that's in the you know, the fruits which basically are some of them are mutashabih and some of them are ghair mutashabih. Some of the fruits are similar and some are not. So despite the fact we find that one garden has one gardener and one kind of sun heat and one kind of air and one kind of hararat and warmth and one kind of you know, water and one kind of soil and land is available for one garden, but despite the fact all these things are similar for a garden, we find the fruits are, some of them are similar and some of them are not similar to each other. Likewise, we find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the word mutashabih again in another surah of Holy Quran, which is Surah Az-Zumar, verse 23, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that Allahu nazzala ahsan al-hadith kitaban mutashabihan. That means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the best of the hadith. The Holy Quran, ayat of the Holy Quran are obviously they are all mutashabih, kitaban mutashabih, and they're all similar to each other. Similar in what sense? Similar in the sense of being the kalam of haq. Similar in the sense of being mu'jiza. So similar in the sense of being mubarhan, burhani. That means every ayat of Holy Quran is equally, you know, an evidence in burhan. So there's no difference that some of the ayat are mubarhan and burhani and an evidence and some others are not. Or some of the ayats are mu'jiza and some others are not. Some of the ayats are kalam of haq and some other are not. It's not like this. All the ayat are equally the kalam of haq and mu'jiza and mubarhan and burhani, you know, and also full of hikmat and wisdom. So the Holy Quran is mushabih, ayat of Quran are mushabih to each other from all these perspectives. Without any difference, all the ayat have similarity from this perspective that I just mentioned. So so this is a different meaning of being similar that is mentioned. The mutashabih and muhkam that we were talking about is a different meaning than being a shabih. Quran, ayat of Quran are shabih towards each other in the sense that I just mentioned to you, in the from the perspective of being the kalam of haq and mu'jiza and mubarhan and burhani, you know, and likewise of hikmat, having wisdom in it. But the mutashabih of Quran, that has a different meaning. That means that the dalalat of the words or the ayat of Quran have several meanings. Some of the meanings are haq and some other are not haq and batil. And a person who wants to seek fitna and mischief and doing wrong and in the society, he's seeking to find the unintended meaning of the mutakallim. the meaning which Allah did not intend. Because Arabic is a very deep language, you know, as they say the word Ayn in Arabic, for example, Ayn, Ye, and Noon, Ayn, Ya, and Noon, Aynun. This has 70 meanings. So, and in the, if you look into the Arab poetry, there is a qasida of a sha'ir available where he has mentioned all the 70 meanings of the word Aynun in his qasida. So, in the ash'ar, every meaning of the word Aynun is differently mentioned in his ash'ar. So Arabic is a deep language where it has a huge number of meanings. So the duty of the person who is interacting with the Holy Quran is to find out what is the intended meaning of Allah. What did Allah mean out of it? So a word may always have several meanings. This is not how you can reach the to the ma'na of the ayat. The way we can reach is to find out what is intended by Allah. So in that case, what is needed to be done, we look for the meaning which is haq. Haq is the meaning which Allah has intended from it. And any meaning which is not intended by Allah, if a person is seeking that meaning in that word or that ayat, that will be classified as a batil meaning. Because that's why you will be led towards inhiraf. So obviously, people who are seeking fitna seek the meaning which is batil, and that's how they are misleading their own selves. Shubha is considered to be shubha because it's confusing. You know, innama tashbahu, innama summiyat ash-shubhatu shubhatan li'annaha tashbahu al-haq. How it's there in the hadith of Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam. So dalalat of the ayat is of two types, muhkam and mutashabih. Mutashabih has several meanings. One of the meanings is intended by Allah, which is haq. The other meanings are not intended. So the batil meanings, I mean, is not intended. So it's our job to find out which one is the haq and the intended meaning, and we can find that out by presenting the mutashabih ayat to the muhkam ayat. Mutashabihat are put next to the muhkamat, and we will be guided to understand what was the intended meaning of Allah. That's how we do it. So we have the right, and we have the ability to reach to the intended meaning. So the tafsir of mutashabihat is possible for the human beings. So this is the whole point that my teacher was making, that is not correct for a person to say that because huruf al-muqatta'at are mutashabih, so it's impossible for us to understand its meanings. First of all, huruf al-muqatta'at does not have a clear meaning, whereas mutashabih ayat have more than one meaning, so meanings are clear. What we need to understand is which one is intended by Allah, not that the meaning is not clear. Meanings are there. You can always understand the meanings. It's wazeh and clear. But what meaning is intended by Allah will be understood by putting it next to the mutashabih, muhkamat. And so the tafsir, this is what tafsir is. This is how we call tafsir, you know, to discovering the meanings of the word. There's a difference between tafsir and ta'wil. Tafsir of the Holy Quran means understanding the meanings. In a simple way, if you go to the root of the word tafsir in Arabic, it is fassara, yufassiru tafsiran, is derived from the word fa and seen and ra. Fassara. Sulasi al-mujarrad. Fassara. And the word fassara has been taken from the word safara of the Arabic language. Seen and fa and ram. Safara. So basically, fasara is the maqloob, how they say in grammar, if you are familiar with the terminology of ilm al-tasrif, it is called the maqloob of safara. So it was taken from the word safara. Safara in Arabic means safartu al-mar'ata an wajhiha ay kashaftu qina'aha. Safara means to remove the curtain or remove the hijab or remove the satr, the covering. So this is the meaning of safara. It is taken from the word safara because that's exactly what we do when we are trying to understand the meaning of Quran. We're doing the tafsir, we are trying to understand its meanings, to get to the meaning of the word. This is why it's called tafsir. Now, what Allah has said in the ayat of Quran, مَا يَعْلَمُ تَأْوِيلَهُ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَالرَّاسِخُونَ فِي الْعِلْمِ. That means the ta'wil, we understand from that verse, the ta'wil of mutashabihat can only be understood by Allah. No one knows that other than Allah. وَالرَّاسِخُونَ فِي الْعِلْمِ. Those who are deep into knowledge, they have rusukh in the ilm, which is the Rasul and Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam. So Allah is saying that ta'wil is not known by anyone else other than Allah and the rasikhun. So ta'wil is different than the tafsir. Right now we are talking about the tafsir of the mutashabihat. Tafsir means understanding the meanings. Ta'wil is the al-ma'na al-batini, the hidden meaning. Because we have a zahir of Quran and a batin of Quran. We are not talking about the batini and the hidden meaning right now. The batini and the hidden meaning is known by Allah and the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt only. That's the ta'wil of Quran. But the tafsir, which is the zahiri, apparent meaning, can be known by everybody if you follow the process. So it is incorrect for this group of mufassireen or this category of person or people who believe that huruf and muqatta'at are part of the mutashabihat of Quran, and so no human is able to understand its meanings. Now, it is not, first of all, it is not part of mutashabihat. Mutashabihat do have a clear meaning in Arabic language, whereas huruf and muqatta'at do not have a clear meaning. And second of all, mutashabihat are able to be understood. If they claim that it's part of mutashabihat of Quran, well, the mutashabihat are able, it's within our reach to understand. It's not beyond the reach of the humans. Also, those of the things which are beyond the reach of the human knowledge. We do have certain knowledges in Islam which are beyond the reach of human knowledge. So those, like the knowledge about Al-Asma'ul Musta'asira. So Al-Asma'ul Musta'asira are beyond the reach of humans. Isn't it right? Now there's aqwal of the ulama. Some of the scholars say that the Rasul and Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam have the knowledge of Al-Asma'ul Musta'asira, those names of Allah which are hidden. Some of the scholars believe that they have it. Some of the scholars say that Al-Ismul Musta'asir is hidden even from the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam. These are aqwal. But the bottom line, according to those scholars who believe that, you know, Al-Asma'ul Musta'asira are also known by the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam, again, so that hidden knowledge is within their reach. It's not in the reach of the rest of the human beings, because the rest of the human beings simply do not have that level of ismat and taharat of the qalb, because knowledge in Islam is always given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala according to the level of your taharat of the qalb. The higher ma'soom, the higher taharat you achieve in your qalb, the greater darajat of knowledge is given. If you have the less level of taharat in the qalb, you deserve to get less knowledge of Quran and ma'arif of Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam. So Al-Asma'ul Musta'asira, according to this call, is known by the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam. And whereas the rest of the people do not know it. But other categories of knowledge that we have, the humans do have access to that knowledge. So the zahir of Quran is in the reach of the humans. So no one can say that, well, zahir of Quran, Allah made the zahir of Quran hidden from the people. Allah did not make the zahir of Quran hidden. Zahir of Quran is hujjat. If Allah is doing ijaz and mu'jaza through the zahir of Quran over the entire humanity, which He is doing, and He's inviting the humanity to accept in God and the Day of Judgment and the Prophets, isn't it right? So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is doing his itmam al-hujjat through the zahir of Quran, it is understandable, that's how it is doing, he is doing itmam of hujjat. So the hujjat and evidence is fulfilled on all the human beings, so all the human beings are able to understand the zahir of Quran. So the zahir is within the reach of the humankind. So we find, obviously, the principles need to be followed. That doesn't mean that we ignore the zawabit and the usul and the qawaneen of tafsir, the qawaneen of understanding the meanings. We are not talking about the ta'wil of Quran, I already explained. We are talking about the tafsir, which is understanding the meanings. Understanding the meanings of the zahir is within the reach of every human being, without exception, if he follows certain rules and principles. Certain sciences of Arabic grammar, certain rules of understanding, if he follows, everybody can understand the zahir of Quran. Now, obviously, he has to turn to the Holy Quran. Ruju towards the kitab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the key. And also turning towards the sunnat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And that... and the sunnat of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. So, looking at what the Prophet has said, and we know that the sunnat includes the qawl of the ma'soom, and the fi'l of the ma'soom, and the taqreer of the ma'soom. And the qawl means the statements that they have said. Any hadith, any statement that Prophet has said, or the ma'soomeen have said, is part of their sunnat. Any authentic statement, obviously. So, likewise, their fi'l, fi'lul ma'soom, any of the actions that Prophet has done, which is proven according to authentic narrations, or any of the actions that Ahlul Bayt have performed, which is proven with authentic narrations, is part of the sunnat of the Prophet in Ahlul Bayt. And likewise, part of the sunnat is the taqreer of ma'soom. Taqreerul ma'soom means an action which is performed by some other person, not by Rasul and Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam, but they were present and they saw this person doing this action and they did not object. So anyone, because they are ma'soom, if somebody is doing a haram, they cannot stay silent. They will do amr bil ma'roof and nahy anil munkar. Isn't it right? So if a person is doing an action, an amal, a fi'l in front of Rasulullah and Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam, the minimum it proves that this amal is ja'iz in Islam. Obviously, we are not proving that this becomes wajib or mustahab. If it was wajib, Prophet will do himself. Ahlul Bayt will do themselves. If it is mustahab, they would do themselves. But if a person is doing any action in front of the Rasul and Ahlul Bayt, it is the dalilun shar'i, that this action is ja'iz and acceptable in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why they did not object upon it. Otherwise, they will definitely object on it. So, understanding the knowledges of Quran is through two things: by turning towards the Kitabullah, that means the Book of God, following the principles of the grammar and principles of understanding, and obviously with the open mind, and not with the tilted and munharif and zaygh and divine, behavior towards the Holy Quran. If a person is so serious in understanding, and likewise turning to the sunnat of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt. Although these two things are mutalazim towards each other, because whatever the Quran has said is always mulazim, and the lazima, the same exactly will definitely be done by the Prophet in Ahlul Bayt. Whatever has the Quran has said, they will personally and practically do it. Whatever is obliged to be done in the light of Quran, they will definitely do it. And they had done it in their life. And whatever they have done is what is said by the Holy Quran. So their sunnat is mutalazima with the Holy Quran. So at the end of the day, it's one evidence. But because Quran is obviously in the form of a book, it's Quran and Samit, how we say it, it's a silent hujjat of Allah. It does not speak on its own,
Kitabun bayna daffatain la yantiq bilisan wala budda lahu min tarjuman. It's a book which is binded under two binds. La yantiqu bilisanin. It does not speak with a tongue. Wala budda lahu min tarjuman. It requires a spokesperson. Obviously, the spokesperson of Quran is no one else except those upon whom that household upon which the Quran was revealed. That means the Rasul and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wa salam. So at the end of the day, there is no tanaqud, there is no controversy or contradiction between the Quran and the Sunnat of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt. Quran and Sunnat is always in sync with each other. Sunnat, we mean Sunnat of Prophet and Ahlul Bayt. So Quran and Sunnat is always one. It's always going to be one standard, same thing. The difference will be known only through the fact that Quran is, like I mentioned last night, Quran is Hujjatun Zatiyya. The Hujjat of Quran is not dependent on anything else or anyone else. Itself on its own, it is Hujjat and an evidence and undeniable. Because it's a miracle. You know, so no human who is sane and sensible can deny that the Quran is a miracle, because of the fact that if he doesn't accept it, then fine. If you don't want to accept it, fine, bring something similar to that. This is an open challenge of Quran since 14 centuries, isn't that right? And there are so many enemies of Islam out there, and so many of the enemies speak Arabic, isn't that right? Not every Arabic speaker is a Muslim, isn't that right? So they would have definitely done it by now if it was in the reach of the human. They never left a single stone unturned in the enmity of Islam. So it is impossible for the humankind to bring anything or any sentence or any chapter similar to that of the Holy Quran. So the difference between the Hujjiyat of Quran being the evidence of God, and Prophet Sunnat and Ahlul Bayt Sunnat and tradition being the evidence of God, the difference between these two comes down to one point, and that is the Hujjiyat and authenticity of Quran is not dependent, because it is itself a miracle, whereas the Sunnat of Rasulullah and Ahlul Bayt is certified by the Holy Quran. So Quran says, وَمَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُ. Whatever Prophet gives to you, take it. Whatever he stops you from, stop it. So Prophet's Sunnat, his do's and do nots are dependent on the command of Allah in the Quran, which is a miracle and unchallengeable and undeniable by any human who is sane. So the Sunnat of the Prophet depends on the Holy Quran and its Hujjiyat, whereas the Quran does not depend in its Hujjiyat on anything else. And that was the reason, according to my teacher, that was the reason why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam has said in the khutbah of Ghadir, when Prophet issued his sermon, at the occasion of Ghadir, Prophet had Hadith al-Saqalain, you all know, is part of the khutbah of Ghadir of Rasulullah. Inni tarikun fikum al-Saqalain, inni mukhalifun fikum al-Saqalain. Isn't it right? Narrated from various ways, a little bit variations of the word. So, Kitabullah wa itrati Ahlul Bayti, Book of God and my family, Ahlul Bayt, and my Ahlul Bayt. Isn't it right? So, wa innahuma lan yaftariqa as-siqlul akbar Kitabullah. Or As-Saqalul Akbar. It can be recited in both ways grammatically. The bigger, Siqal means something which has a weight, a weighty thing. And Saqal means a valuable thing. So Saqalain and Siqalain. So Prophet had said that As-Saqalul Akbar Kitabullah. Wal-Akharul Asgaru Itrati. This is how Allama Al-Amini has mentioned in his book Kitab Al-Ghadir, in the Muqaddimah of the book,
Allama Amini, who wrote the biggest book on the subject of Ghadir in 11 volumes, before mentioning his whole research in 11 volumes on the subject of Ghadir, in the foreword of the book, he first mentions the whole story. So in the foreword of that book, when he is mentioning the whole story, this is how Allama Amini has mentioned the khutbah, and he says, so which is in his opinion the most authentic version of the khutbah, that's how he is mentioning in the foreword. So he narrated that Prophet said, As-siqlul akbar kitabullah hablum mamdudun bainal ardi was-sama. That means the bigger valuable thing is the book of God, hablum mamdud, a rope which is extended, bainal ardi was-sama, between the heaven and earth. Wal akharul asgharu itrati, and the other smaller one is my Ahlul Bayt. So this is there in the khutbah narrated by Allama Amini. Now obviously Prophet, we know that Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam are afdal than the Quran, because of several reasons. And khairum min al-khair fa'iluhu, how the hadith of Imam al-Askari alayhi salatu wasalam says that doer of the fa'il is, doer of the khair is better than the khair. So obviously they practice the whole Quran, so they are superior than Quran. If you do the salat, you are afdal. The musalli is afdal than salat in Islam. The sa'im is afdal than the saum. The person who is fasting and he's establishing the fast is superior than the fasting itself. The hajj, the person who goes for hajj, is afdal than the hajj itself, if his hajj is accepted. The person who gives the khums is afdal than the concept of khums itself. So the person who practices the khair and goodness is superior than the goodness. The goodness is existing because of him. Isn't it right? Because he, obviously on the highest level, this Prophet and Ahlul Bayt, who are the ones who are actually establishing the goodness. We are just following them, so that's one of the reasons why they get all the sawab for all the good deeds that we perform. They get the sawab for every good deed in addition to us. So what I am saying is that hujjiyat of Quran is dependent, and the hujjiyat of the sunnat, the hujjiyat of Quran is not dependent, and hujjiyat of sunnat of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt is depending on the Holy Quran. Otherwise the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt are afdal than Quran. So what is part of the divine knowledge which is impossible for the humans to discover and know is not the mutashabih of Quran. Mutashabihat of Quran is in the reach of the humankind to discover and understand. What we need to do in the case of mutashabihat of Quran is to present them next to the muhkamat and follow the principles of tafsir, and we will understand the meanings. And huruf al-muqatta'at which we are discussing are not even mutashabih of Quran, because their meanings is unclear to us. Whereas mutashabihat of Quran, the meanings of those sentences or those words are clear, but the meanings of huruf al-muqatta'at are unclear. So it's not right for anyone to say that huruf al-muqatta'at is part of the mutashabihat of Quran. Mutashabihat is possible for us to do the tafsir. What is impossible for us is to do the ta'wil of mutashabihat, because ta'wil is something which is the hidden knowledge, the batini and hidden meaning, which is only with ma ya'lamu ta'wilahu illallahu wal rasikhuna fil ilm. No one knows, it's ta'wil except Allah and the rasikhuna fil ilm, which is the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. We say salawat. Now the second tafsir for the huruf al-muqatta'at, which is available in the list of the 20 aqwal in tafsir of that, is about, that's the call of Ayatullah al-Uzma Sheikh Abu Ja'far At-Tusi, rahmatullahi alayh. He is the founder of the Hawza of Najaf, and we call him Sheikh Al-Ta'ifa. He has written remarkable books. One of those books is Tafsir al-Tibyan, a very good tafsir of Quran. So in his Tafsir al-Tibyan, Sheikh Tusi says about Huruf al-Muqatta'at that Huruf al-Muqatta'at are just the names of the surahs. So this is how the surah is known. Well, surahs have several names. Every surah has, some of the surahs have several names, isn't it right? Not every surah, but some of the surahs have several names. So one of the hidden names is this, in addition to the other names. For example, Surah Al-Baqarah, of course, the name is taken from Baqarah, the cow, but Alif Lam Mim is one of the hidden names of the Surah Al-Baqarah. This is what he says. Names, first of all, are primarily not given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the tafsir, our scholars say the names of the surahs are not given by Allah. So my teacher was saying, so let's, for example, Surah Al-An'am. An'am in Arabic means the cattle. So, Chahar Payan. So the cattle, so my teacher was saying it doesn't make any sense. Why would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala name this surah to be An'am if it is named by the people? The people, the urf, the people has called the surah to be An'am. If it was for any scholar, from the scholarly perspective, if you look at Surah Al-An'am, my teacher says it has 40 Barahin about the Tawheed of Allah only. 40 unshakable evidences about the Tawheed of Allah. So why wouldn't we call it Surah Al-Tawheed instead of calling it Surah Al-An'am? And that's what the people are. The people call it An'am, so that's how they call it An'am. So we need to keep in mind that that the names of the surahs are taken by basically the public. So Sheikh At-Tusi says that Huruf al-Muqatta'at are the name of the surah, and surahs have various names, and one of the names is this. Well, this is first of all let me first mention what he has said in his statement that agar ishkal shavad ke chera in huruf ba'in naam ba'in ke naam sure ast juz'e sure qarar gerifte dar pasokh miguim hawan tor ke kalimati nazir baqare wa ale imran ham naam sure ast wa ham juz'e sure Alif Lam Mim niz mitawanat dar ayn in ke juz'e sure ast naam-e sure niz bashad. So if somebody can say, well, if it is the name of the surah, Sheikh Tusi says, if somebody says it's the name of the surah, then how would it be mentioned as part of the same surah? Well, he says, well, this is not a problem, because we find Surah Al-Baqarah, Baqarah is mentioned in the Surah Al-Baqarah, and despite the fact the word Al-Baqarah is part of the surah, but the name is still assigned to that surah. So that's not a problem to have these huruf al-muqatta'at serving the purpose of the name of that surah. Names which are given are most of the times the names, overwhelming majority of the names when they are assigned, they are all murtajal. So we have two categories of naming process. So One of the naming process is with irtijal, and one is ghair irtijal. So irtijal is those of the names which are a'lam, names of the people or cities or places or things. And mostly when you name a person, it's murtajal. Murtajal is that of the names which doesn't require any munasabat between ism and musamma. For example, this father has a son or a daughter, and he names his son to be
Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam.
Well, let's suppose the son has nothing to do. Obviously, no one can be similar to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. But still, even this person is not even a practicing Muslim, doesn't even follow the teachings of Rasulullah and the Holy Quran. But still, he will be called Muhammad, isn't it right? So this is called Irtijal, and an overwhelming majority of the names are like this. They are given to people who have no munasabat with their names. They have no resemblance with their ism, but that's what they are called. Isn't it right? This daughter is named Fatima by his father. Isn't it right? Unfortunately, nowadays you find some of the people are giving so much silly names to their children just because how the non-Muslims would pronounce it. So they care about how the non-Muslims would do instead of caring about what Allah has said about naming. What the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam have said about naming, isn't it right? So Imam Sadiq alayhi salam had said in his hadith, whenever the child was born, we would name him Muhammad. Later on we can change it. We would, if you know, in other words, when we decide to change something else, they would be giving some other name. But first they give the name Muhammad to every child. So I'm not telling the exact words of the hadith, just what we learned from the light of the hadith. So basically naming has to be in a way which respects the soul of the child. So this So when we name the person, we are respecting the ruh of that person. And if you give a silly name to your son just because it sounds good, let's bring a name from the kufr, isn't it right? And give it because it sounds good when you call it. This is straight away disrespect to the ruh of that child. You failed to value the value of Iman and the values of Quran which are home into his soul. You did not realize what's the value of Iman. If you understood the value of Iman, you would never disrespect your child by giving a silly name just because it sounds good. So, unfortunately, this is the practice of some people. When in Islam, we give them holy names. In Islam, we give them the names which are meaningful, ma'naviyat. In Islam, we give them names related to the prophets of God and Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam, their alqab, their titles preferably, or any other name which has some good meaning. It shows the respect to the child. So what I was saying is that alam, that means the alam, means the proper names. Alam in Arabic, in English we call it proper names. So the proper names, when they are assigned to people, isn't that right? Most of the times, they are all murtajal. That means they are without any munasabat. The father who is naming this ism towards the child who is the musamma of the name, the ism and musamma, the name and the child has no relationship with each other. They're not in sync. The child is totally in a different line, isn't it right? The daughter is on a different line, but still, she still has that name. So this is how we have the Irtijal. There are very few names available who are not Irtijal, but they are having Munasabat because they deserve that name. Those who deserve that name are the ones who are non-Murtajal, which are very, very few. When we say about Prophet as Ahmad, he's named in the heaven as Ahmad and on the earth as Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. So this is a proper name, but this is not Murtajal. This is with the Munasabat. There's absolute Munasabat and it's in sync with the Ism and Musamma are totally in sync. So we find Prophet is Muhammad because he is
he's widely praised everywhere by every person who has the humanity. Everyone who has the humanity and intellect would end up praising this personality who's the greatest. So he's praised by Allah, you know, he's praised by the angels, he's praised by all the believers and all the Salihin and Siddiqeen and Shuhada. So this is why he's called Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And he's the one who is praised a lot. And he's called Ahmad because he himself praised Allah a lot. So Ahmad is a person who praises. So he praises Allah, he's called Ahmad. So this is non-murtajal name, but like I said, majority of the names in the humanity are murtajal. So when we understand the difference between murtajal and non-murtajal category of namings, then it will not make a difference what Shaykh At-Tusi rahmatullah alayhi has said in the tafsir of Huruf al-Muqatta'at, that all these huruf are basically the names of those surahs which are serving as hidden names in addition to the other names which are assigned. So this is what he has said in his tafsir At-Tibyan. Now obviously this kind of tafsir is my teacher Ayatullah Jawadi Hafizahullah was saying that this tafsir is also unacceptable, what Shaykh At-Tusi rahmatullah alayhi has said, because of the simple reason that there is no evidence from any Islamic evidence to back it up. So when there is no dalil to back it up, we cannot accept it. If these are the names of the Holy Quran and we had a dalil, we had an Islamically acceptable evidence to back it up, then it would be okay for us to place the names of in the place of the Holy Quran. So when, for example, in Surah Maryam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, see, Quran has several names, Al-Furqan and Zikr, isn't it right? When in Surah Maryam Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says Kaf, Ha, Ya, Ayn, Saad, Zikru Rahmat Rabbika Abdahu Zakariya. So now it would have been possible for us to place, instead of Kaf, Ha, Ya, Ayn, Saad, we could place the word Al-Quran and say Al-Quran Zikru Rahmat Rabbika Abdahu Zakariya. Whereas that's not right to do that. It's incorrect in terms of tafsir of Quran to do that. So which proves that this is not acceptable, and this opinion in the Mufassireen is without any dalil and evidence. Inshallah we'll talk about the rest of the 17 tafsirs of Huruf al-Muqatta'at in the upcoming nights. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina Muhammadin wa alihi at-tahirin. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma ansur al-Islam wal muslimin wa khdhul al-kuffar wal munafiqin. Allahumma ansur man nasar ad-din wa khdhul man khadhal al-muslimin. اللهم انصر واحفظ وأيد علماءنا الربانيين ومراجعنا الربانيين لا سيما الولي الفقيه قائد المسلمين. اللهم انصر جيوش المسلمين وعساكر الموحدين. اللهم فك عن الأسراء المسلمين. اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وعجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان واجعلنا من أنصاره وأشياعه وأتباعه وأعوانه بجاه محمد وآله الطاهرين.